Good morning, and want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be together with you all again. This morning, I feel like my topic is a little bit different, and maybe more of, my subject is a little different, more of a topic than a message, so I'll let you all determine that, but I'd like to speak on the battle of the mind this morning. And it is, I learned, a very vast subject. There's a lot of information on it, and there's a lot of our life revolves around our mind. You can turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I would just like to begin with those verses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And I would like to try to decipher the difference between our brain and our mind. Because there is a difference, and yet they work very much together. I'll begin with the brain. Our brain is simply a physical organ that supports mental process. The brain is the hardware, and our mind is the software. The mind is a product of the brain, but is not the same thing. The mind is a product of the brain, but not the same thing as the brain. And we all have within our head this thing called a brain. And some may have a high IQ, some maybe average, some maybe below average intelligence. But nonetheless, we all have a brain, whether we use it or not. We do have it. But whether great or small, our brain is very intelligent and one of those things that I believe people have a hard time explaining, and I do too. I don't know a lot of deep things, or didn't study very deep on the brain, but it is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. It is said that in our head there is more information than in the National Library. Now, how do you go about proving that? I'm not sure. But I read that, and I'm passing it on for what it's worth. It's an incredible thought that in 3 pounds of white matter, there is more information stored than in the National Library. And our brains were designed by God to process information from our 5 physical senses: touch, taste, hear, smell, and seeing. But our brain was not intended to receive God's thoughts. And God does not reveal his will through our brain or his nature. Nor were our brains made to control our will. We were designed by God to be led by God's Spirit or mind, working in our reborn spirit. And I hope you followed me there. When we do this, our brain still functions very well, but our decisions are not based on how things appear, but on what God's will is for us. More simply said, when we are living with a renewed mind that Christ gives us, we then understand what Christ is trying to tell us. Okay, the mind. The mind is not a physical organ. And it's often, as I said earlier, is described as the software of the brain, responsible for processing information and generating thoughts and experiences. The mind is involved in thinking and reasoning, decision-making, and emotional processing. The mind is often described as having three levels, or the mind does have three levels. Maybe someone here would like to tell me what those three levels are.
Conscious,
subconscious, any part of it? Yes. Conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. So, for instance, your setting in church, you are all conscious of that. But in your unconscious mind, you might be thinking right now, I forgot to turn off the water, or you name it. Our unconscious mind is when we are sleeping, for instance. But each of these three play a role in our mental process. While our brains are similar, our minds are shaped by our experiences, our beliefs, our values, and that's what makes them so unique. Psychologist tells us that each person has about 10,000 thoughts per day. And, well, you as a farmer this time of year can probably believe that. It's still a vast amount of thoughts that go through our mind. And this means that we have a lot of opportunity for good thoughts or bad thoughts, does it not? And while the human thought process remains a kind of a mystery to scientists, one thing is sure about the mind: that how you think, the thoughts you allow in your mind, will affect your direction in life and your walk with God. Proverbs 23, verse 7. You don't have to turn there, just reading this one verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he saith to thee, but his heart is not with thee. I didn't come prepared today to explain the difference between the heart and the mind and how they are connected. But they are very connected. I'll just leave it at that. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we have 10,000 thoughts approximately per day, I have to think that we could probably use some help with those thoughts. And I have to think that most likely there's thoughts that aren't pleasing to God. And no one else can see that. But God does. And so my goal this morning is simply to make us aware of our thought patterns and to encourage us to live with the renewed mind that Christ would have us to live in. So why are our thoughts so important? Our thoughts become words. Our words will become actions. Our actions will become habits. Our habits will become character. And our character will become our destiny. I had to think of Matthew, there in Matthew 5, where Jesus condemns murder. But he also condemned wrong thoughts towards our brothers. And why is that? This is just a thought, so take it for that. But don't you think it could be that angry thoughts towards our brothers leads us further than just that? I'm not saying it leads to murder, but angry thoughts will take us in a direction. What we allow in our minds comes out in actions. And if you want to say it more simply, it'd be garbage in, garbage out. I'd like to read Romans 12 in verse 2. And I'm going to refer back to this verse a few times. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so we've determined that we can't always trust our thinking. Our thinking won't always lead us where we want to go. So we need to think not with our carnal mind, but with the mind of Christ. And how will we go about that? I have just a few things here. Number one, and very obvious, we must know God. You can turn with me to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 12, I'll read through verse 16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man, for we have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. People that don't know God don't understand the things of God. It's that simple. They don't understand the principles that we as Christians strive to live by. There in verse 14, it all sounds like foolishness. And the only reason that we understand is because we have this Spirit that is within us. We must know God. We must want to know more about God. And the only way to know more about God is to walk with Him each day in close fellowship. So what can we do to take on the mind of Christ? You can turn with me to James chapter 4. I'll read verse 7 through 10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heart, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Another important key is to submit to God. Submit to what God is asking of you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. When we are submitted to God's plan and are willing to go where God wants us to go, it'll help us to understand his heart and where he leads us and things that he allows in our life. It'll help us to understand that he does have a heart of compassion for his people and that you and I are chosen people, a gift from God. Again, psychologists teach that there are two mental laws that contribute heavily to our mental state or being. In other words, whether we're happy or sad. There are, number one, the law of concentration, and number two, the law of substitution. The law of concentration states that whatever we dwell upon grows in our life experience. Whatever we think about on a continual basis becomes a part of us. Yes, we do become what we think, what we dwell on. The more we dwell on something, the more we have of it in our lives. Then secondly, the law of substitution states that our conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time. It makes no difference to our mind whether the thought is negative or positive. It can only hold one at a time. So, it is up to us what we allow that thought to be. Whether it's negative or positive, we can't sit there and think about negative things and positive things at the same time. We will be thinking about one or the other. And we are what we are because of what we have allowed ourselves to concentrate on. And I'm not here to promote this life of positive, joyful thinking and it's going to change your entire life. Not at all. But if we are constantly dwelling on the negative things in our life and the troubles that we had yesterday, you probably will feel sad and feel negative about life. Happiness comes when we stop complaining about our troubles and offer thanks to God for the troubles that we don't have. It's not going to change what's in your life. It's not going to change Monday morning, but it will change how you view it. And as you continue to walk through it, you will feel more positive as we walk through things with a renewed, a renewed mind rather than a carnal mind. Romans 8, chapter 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Basically, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your nature and your mind, there is life and peace. A quote by C.S. Lewis, "God cannot bless us unless he has us. When we try to keep within us an area that is our own, we try to keep an area of death. Therefore, in love, he claims all. There is no bargaining with him." So this morning, if you want to change the outcome of your life, we must change our way of life. I'll say that again. If we want to change our outcome of life, we must change our way of life. Negative prevailing thoughts are simply not for the Christian. And if you find you are not the person you wish you were, let's not blame our circumstances. That will never change anything. It may feel good at the moment and give us an excuse in the moment and take the pressure off of us in the moment, but it does not change anything. We must change our way of life. It gets very practical. When you find yourself in a negative thought pattern, stop yourself. Quote scripture. Cry out to God. And try thinking of something positive in your life. Something that God has given you that you don't deserve. And it'll greatly change the things that you feel you should have and you don't. Focus on what's right in your life instead of what's wrong. What's good instead of what's bad, and what's sweet instead of what's bitter. And you'll find that as you make that conscious choice to live with a renewed mind and continue to ask God to renew your mind, you will become a different person. And the only thing that's changed is you. Most likely your circumstances may or may not have changed, but the way you view them has changed, and therefore making it easier to walk through them. No matter where you find yourself in life, we can all think of positive and negative things that we have to deal with on a regular basis. Let's deal with them with a renewed mind. Again, I'd like to look at James 4, verse 7, and I'll just read it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In order to win this victory over the flesh, we must win the victory in our mind, in our thought process. I have to wonder, how did Jesus face the devil, Satan, out in the wilderness? What kept him from being pulled away from that force of evil? You think of, practically, he was hungry, I'm sure, and he was alone. How did he do it? I think number one, he was fully submitted to God's plan for him, even though it meant hard things. He knew that he would walk through hard things. And I think we as Christians should expect that we'll walk through hard things. I've learned in life that it's as you face those hard things and you know that the road wasn't promised to be easy, when a hard thing does come along, we can face it a lot more optimistically. And so I believe that Jesus, when he faced the devil, was committed no matter what. Also, he quoted Scripture. I think it's two very key things to getting the upper hand in the battle. I want to look at Romans 12, verse 2 again, but in a different translation here. So the thought is to be not conformed to this world. This other translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, and then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. You can turn with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. I'll begin reading in verse 4 and read through verse 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm not going to expound on that verse because I feel like it says it. Just take verse 8 and live it out. Have a little instance here. I'd like to, or a little story, about a military leader that called Neapolitan. And one day, this commander's prize horse ran away, and one of his alert privates noticed the horse escaping and immediately jumped on a horse and chased after the leader's prized horse. And when the captain returned, or I'm sorry, when the private returned the horse to the general Neapolitan, he smiled at the private and said, "Thank you, Captain." And this overjoyed private immediately took his old uniform to the quartermaster and exchanged it for that of a captain. He then ran back to the barracks, packed his bags, and moved into the officers' quarters. In an instant, the soldier had changed his status from that of a lowly private to that of a commissioned officer. He never doubted the commander's words. Instead, he believed that what Napoleon had said and acted accordingly. Isn't it the same for us today? By Jesus' death on the cross, he has changed our status before God. We were once enemies of God, and now we are children of God. And now it is our responsibility to act in a way that is consistent with our new standing, our new status before God. Since we are children of God, we must live as children of God. We must exchange our old desires, our old attitudes, our old habits and actions that were characteristics of our old man. And this is a lifelong process. But we must be headed in the right direction. We must understand where we stand before God, and that we are now children of God, and that he wants to give each one of us a renewed mind. I'd like to close with Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. God bless you as you challenge your thought life, as we realize the impact that it does have on us from day to day, and as we strive to take on the mind of Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.